We are thankful this morning for that wonderful Bible. What we're thankful for is the message and the good news. We're thankful for the joyful tidings of that. And there's another song in the Blue Book that says, "Wonderful Words of Life." God in His goodness to you and me is constantly, constantly trying to convey His love to us through actions and words. And it seems to me like that down through the ages of time, it's been hard for people at different stages in their life and in the eras of mankind to be able to fully accept such a great love, such a wonderful forgiveness, such a wonderful mercy. And we as people sometimes, it appears in my mind that we put up barriers to the free gift of a loving Father. His Word proclaims His love. And I'm glad today that God is intent on conveying to us the love that He's loved us with. In the face of Jesus Christ, the life of Christ, through the suffering, through all the tremendously beautiful and wonderful promises that are given to us, I would encourage this morning. Let's believe God's Word. One scripture said, "Let God be true and every man a liar." This morning, let's build our life on the Word of God. Let's build our life and our experience and our homes and our futures on those wonderful words of life. Joyful tidings from God to every one of us. This morning, I'd like to talk to us a little bit about having confidence in God's love, having confidence in God's acceptance of us. Every one of us have at one time or another, based on our personalities probably, struggled with acceptance. Some people can accept good things and good feelings, and they can accept love easier than some. Some people struggle because of personalities and because of experiences in life. They struggle with being able to accept the fact that God loves me, God cares about me, and God wants to offer me all the good things, and He does offer to me all the good things that's contained in the wonderful words of life. The word confidence, by definition means a trusting or reliance on, an assurance of mind or firm belief in the integrity, stability, veracity of another, or in the truth and reality of a fact. You know, we understand these definitions, but I think every one of us sometimes comes up to the places of, does it mean me? Did it apply to me with all of my ins and outs, all of my different personalities, my fears or my perceptions and my failures? And Lord, help us today as we read and look into the Word of God. I believe we have a song somewhere recorded that whosoever meaneth me, come unto me all. Whosoever will may drink of this life-changing and life-giving water. Whosoever meaneth me. This morning, none of us are out from under the love of God. None of us are out from under the call of God. None of us are out from under the interest of God. None of us have been excluded from the plan. Every one of us have received the same invitation. Word confidence also means trust, reliance, applied to one's own abilities or competency. We don't teach salvation by self and by works. But we also want to emphasize, the Lord wants to impress upon us the fact that we can be His children. And since we are His children, we have granted unto us all the blessings of the Father. Not self-confidence in our goodness, but self-confidence in I know in whom I believed. I know He walks with me, and I know He talks with me. I know He cares about me. A self-confidence that I have been to the cross and I have been saved, that the blood of Jesus Christ did atone for my transgressions, and I am born into the family. A self-confidence that I know that I'm a child of the King. These are the things that you and me from time to time have to struggle with. These are the things from time to time that the devil will present to us. And I believe it affects people at different times in their life differently, of course, but there's some things in common that having our confidence shaken, having our sense of acceptance by God and by others shaken, that affects us, and it produces things in us that can hinder us in our joy and hinder us in our peace, hinder us in our journey to heaven. The third definition that caught my eye was confidence from the sense of that object which in which trust is placed. The object itself, the source of that confidence, the ground of the trust. So the confidence that we as Christians have is in Jesus Christ. The confidence that causes you and me to rise above self and those things that attack our confidence or our acceptance is faith and trust in the One who called us. Faith and trust in the One who loves us. May the Lord help us today as we look into this thought that we have been accepted. Or the invitation is that we can be accepted. No matter where we've been, what roads we've traveled on, what kind of life we've lived, our weaknesses, our failures, that God has a place that He's calling us to. And He's calling us to Himself. And let's you and me ask God, please increase our confidence and trust in the fact that You have called me, that You love me, and You care about my welfare. Acceptance is very important in life. When we feel in any situation unaccepted, it affects our behavior. It may be an outward behavior or it may be introverted behavior, but it affects us. When you and me feel unaccepted or accepted, it affects our thinking process, our views, and our outlooks. It affects how you and me accept the trust that God wants for us to have in Him or our trust in others. Knowing that we are accepted is extremely important in our victory in serving the Lord. I want to read a scripture to us. It's found in Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter, and maybe the third verse beginning down through the sixth. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, whereby He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. The Lord has done something that you and me could not do. We could not gain the favor or the right standing before God and with God without His help, unless He came and interceded on our behalf, unless He provided the atonement, unless He made the way. Jesus Christ came to be that way. Jesus Christ died to be that way. Jesus Christ was resurrected and ascended back to the Father to be that way, that you and me could have the assurance in our heart, the joy in our heart, the blessed of a conduct that has the assurance that God loves me, God cares about my welfare, God is interested in my uprisings and in my downsittings. God is interested in my family. God is interested in my feelings. God wants me to go to heaven. God wants me to be His child. God wants me to inherit the kingdom. God wants to give me all things that pertain to life and godliness. And He's made me acceptable in His sight through His Son, Jesus Christ. Look at the cross and the terrible price that was paid. It wasn't for God that He died. It wasn't for His own sins that He died. But He died that you and me might come back to that place that we had drifted and gone away from. The Lord desperately wants us to feel and know that we are accepted today. Hence, it will affect us. It will be an asset to His kingdom. It will cause His kingdom to be promoted in this world today. It will cause the city to glow. It will cause the blessings of the Lord to flow out of us, uninhibited by the restrictions that placed on us when I just can't do anything. Nobody cares what I think. What I'm just worried is God even loving me today. May the Lord help us today to know that God has made us acceptable through Jesus Christ. We are His children. We have an invitation to be His children. And not just secondary children, but joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Will we today, as God's people, will you today, if you're not saved, accept the fact that we are and can be heirs of all that God is? Because He loves us. And He's made us acceptable. None of us could ever come to a place that we say, I have arrived. I am now good enough. None of us can boast. None of us can brag. We're all saved by the same grace of God. And today, let's not take a back seat to the devil. Let's not let him come in and undermine our salvation and take our own limitations and our own personalities and twist them and turn them and impose them on us as if God is saying those things to us. Brother Philip said something here a couple of weeks ago that impressed me deeply and dearly. He said when the Lord speaks to us, He's always drawing us to Himself. May we today be encouraged by that thought. The Lord does not speak to you and me to push us away, to cause us to feel less valuable in the kingdom of God. God calls us to Himself and always speaks to us with that in mind, never to cast us away or to push us off. Then where comes those thoughts that comes up in our minds at times that nobody loves me or I can't do this or I'm unacceptable or whatever? Things that cause you and me to miss some of the very wonderful joys and the pleasures of the kingdom. It's not from God. The preacher said that. The Word backs that up. God calls us to Him to bless us. Then it must be coming from our own self, promoted by Satan himself, causing us to think so little that we just kind of don't feel at home anymore. I want to tell you something. This need to be accepted by man, in man, is a tremendous need. And it will cause people to act in some of the strangest ways. We'll retouch on a little bit of that later on. Listen, we need to know whoever we are, wherever our life has caused us to travel, in spite of our liabilities and all of these things, God, through Christ, makes us acceptable in the Beloved. Our acceptance by others, you know this. And what's true of one in this case is true of all, is a major factor in our life. You know this. The fact that you or me are not accepted in a circle, in a society, in a community, in a congregation, or that feeling affects us. It affects us in our way we look at them. It affects us in our contributions to things. It affects us in our own self-esteem or our value of ourselves. God valued you highly. Let's not think too little of ourselves. The Bible does not say not to appreciate one's own self, but it says not to think more highly than we ought. Listen, if you're married today, your companion appreciated you, and they thought you worthy of their trust and of their vows. That makes you special. God counts us worthy of the blood of His Son. Not worthy in our goodness, but through His mercy and grace, He wanted us and He desired us. This morning, let's thank God that our life can be profoundly and positively affected. Our souls and our eternities and our homes, when you and me recognize that God has accepted us. God has forgiven me, and I am forgiven. Did you know being forgiven sometimes is a very difficult thing to accept? We know who we are. We know what we've done. We know how some transgressions affect us, and there we may have committed the same thing, and we think, how could they ever? How could God ever? Through Jesus, through the blood, through the atonement of the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. Our acceptance, as I've said, by our own selves is important. Sometimes we can think so little and of ourselves, and I'm not talking about confidence in the flesh when it comes to attaining any merit of God. I don't mean that at all. But we need that degree of the confidence that we have done what we can, that the promises of God extend to us, and that now I am saved. And by virtue of that, I'm a joint heir to all the beauty, all the glory, all the promises, and they're every one for me just as they are for anyone else. That we are accepted. That we are, you know, well, it's not pride. We're special. Did you know God said that His church were a peculiar people, a purchased people? Have you thought about it? You must be special. God bought you. You know, He's a selective shopper in that sense. He just doesn't go out and take everything into His kingdom. But when one enters through the door, and when He calls and they enter through the door and through the blood, we're accepted. He paid for us. He paid for you. More than silver and more than gold and corruptible things. More than the cattle on a thousand, million, zillion hills. He gave the precious Lamb of God for our salvation. We're special. We have something to be very, very thankful for. And now we have the light. Now let's walk in that light. Let's enjoy the fact that we're His children. The fact that we are accepted or not accepted by that we feel it would be good and necessary to be accepted by, if we are accepted or not accepted by that, it dictates to us and it creates in us emotions and feelings and actions and inactions. It causes us to perceive and look at things sometimes skewed. Sometimes it helps us see things right on. Acceptance. You think about it. It's critical to know. In 8th chapter of Romans, Paul wrote, if God be for us, who can be against us? Sometimes we take that who and cast it out on someone else, on the world. I'd like to say and encourage us today, let's don't be our own enemy. If we are accepted and God is for us, let's don't be against that. Let's don't be against our own self. Let's accept the plan and the gift, and let's use it to His glory, to our good, to our edification. Let's use it in such a way that we can rise above the temptations of life, the temptations and thinkings of our own mind and our own intellect, our own reasonings. God wants to give us victory on every point and every line. Who can be against us? I want to encourage you today. Dig down deep and get a hold of God for yourself in such a way that you know you've been accepted. Now, who can be against me? Look at all the obstacles out there. But God's for me. Look at all the insecurities. But God's for me. Look at all the mistakes I've made. God's for me. I don't have anything to say. God's for me. He will help me. I have no value. God loves me. Nobody loves. God loves me. Jesus died for me. I'm precious in His sight because He gave precious blood for me. Oh, that the saints, oh, that all of us today would see the wonderful, wonderful offering. Over in Acts, the 10th chapter. Acts, the 10th chapter. And the 34th verse. It's Peter speaking. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth. This is after the Lord had to talk to Peter a little bit. Of a truth I perceive that God is no respect of persons. One of the points that I want to try to touch on a little bit later. One of the paramount things that we must have in order to have confidence, in order to feel accepted, is we've got to trust and we've got to believe. Now, here's what the Bible said. God is no respect of person. We are the problem and not God. We count respect different than God counts it. God respected us all and concluded us all in the same boat, needing the same help and the same Savior. We sometimes categorize people and each other and ourselves. And we place value far differently than God places value. We place the ability to be used far differently than God places the ability for us to be used. The Bible says, regardless of what your mind or our enemies or the enemy says, God is no respect of person. He loves no one more than the other and no one less than the other. He loves us all. He reached out to us all. He puts His arms around us all. His arms are underneath us all. His blood flows for all. We are accepted, every one of us, in the same identical way, through Jesus Christ. But in every nation, he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him to know the Lord and to do His will, to walk honestly and to walk holy before God. Lord, help us today. Our part is to walk in faith and to walk in obedience. That's what God asks of us. He asks us to love Him and to love our neighbor. May we today recognize that we're special. We're cared about. We have value. We have abilities. And God wants to utilize those. God gave us gifts. Have you got a gift this morning? Have you got a talent? You can't gloat over that. God gave you that. You know, some people can, here I go into a field I know nothing about is music. Okay? Some people have what they call perfect pitch, and some of us literally couldn't carry it in a bucket. You know? Some people have the ability to sing all four parts, and I'm a strong monotone. You know, none of us can gloat over something that is there that we have nothing to do with. Oh, we can hone it. We can polish it, and we ought to. We ought to make it as effective as we can. Sure, we ought to. But it's God that gives it. He said every good gift comes from God. So no man has a place to boast. It's a gift. Everything God, everything good that comes up from, to us, it's a gift from an almighty God. This morning, we talked a couple of weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks in a row, about the wonderful promise, same invitation to every one of us. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'm so glad today when God called you and me, he knew what he was getting. And he knew what he was asking for when he asked us to let him be our Savior. He knew us that our frame is nothing but dust. You know, confidence is not something that we can categorize as being the same in every person. I want to kind of make a little, interject this thought here. Quiet people can be extremely confident and feel accepted. People who are less than quiet and are extroverted and you hear them or maybe see their actions more. That's not pride either. It can be a very real assurance that I know whom I believe. He's called me and I'm his child. We're not talking about making us bold and obnoxious in a wrong kind of way. But we're talking about an inward acceptance, first of all. An inward confidence that we are the children of the Lord. That he has called us and I am accepted. That all things promised have been given to me also. And they're mine to utilize for myself and for others. They're there for me as the weapons of my warfare. They are there to keep me when thoughts that I know are not drawing me closer to God come. They are there when I am attacked by the reasoning of this world. There is an assurance and a confidence. There is an acceptance of God that can supersede everything that might come against us. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's what I'm talking about. A confidence in living a Christian life, of a valuable life, a productive life, as a mother, as a father, as a child, as a worker, as whatever, to have the confidence that I can go forth, not in my power, but in the power of him that loved me, that I can overcome the obstacles and the billows that will crash against my soul. I'm glad today that God concluded us all in the same situation, all in need of his grace. And he said, Paul said, his grace, Jesus told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. May we today believe that. Let's accept it. When you begin to think about it and study it, how much of this coming to me pertains to faith? Just about, I'd say, every bit of it. You know, we read about Daniel and the lion's den, the Hebrew children, Moses, the burning bush, the crossing the Red Sea. But, you know, we can also read stories in other places about other events similar to that that are nothing but stories. What makes this different is that we believe it. We trust in it, and we accept it. This morning, the Bible said, receive with meekness the ingrafted word that is able to save your soul. Today, my burden is for us all. God's burden for us is to accept this word is for me. These promises are for me. These words and these promises are sent by the Father, burning words from heaven, sent down to bless me, encourage me, to lift me up, to give me victories, to give me direction, to give me the confidence to go forth in this world that's dying all around us and be life as unto Jesus Christ. It said in him was life. And that life was the light of the world. Maybe I got that backwards. I've often thought about that. It could be either way, really. The light that was in Christ was the life. And the life that was in Christ was the light. And he wants to give that to us, every one of us. Not a one of us to have less than a full supply. But it's contingent on something. Believing. It's contingent on acceptance. Acceptance of God loves me, and the promises are for me. I can be forgiven. One of the greatest battles I had with God and with my soul and with the devil, however you want to say it, was before I was saved. Because I had been convinced by my own thoughts and my own ignorance and by my actions and by the devil that I couldn't be saved. And I struggled with years with that. God in His mercy came by one night and He made it all so very clear. No, you can be saved. Are you willing to forsake sin? May the Lord help us tonight, today, to recognize He loves us. The Bible declares it. How oft He wants to gather us. He wants to come into our hearts, into our homes, into our families. I care about you. I really do. And you know what? We've got to accept it ourselves through faith. But He's done all He can to make it acceptable. And now we've got to believe. Each one of us, we have our battles, do we not? Each one of us have our areas of struggles. I believe that's true of us all. As you age, that kind of changes the face of a struggle probably. We could ask some of the children here and some of the teenagers here and some of the young marriage today, what areas are you buffeted in? And I could probably tell you, well, yeah, that used to be me, but it's not anymore. I've got my new area. But the answer's the same. It's God. It's God's love for us. Every one of us are born with our liabilities, whether it's the facing old age and death, that causes struggles. Peer pressure of the youth, that causes struggles. That desire to be accepted and wanted, needed. The tides of a self-styled world. Something I've always thought. This world places such a unholy and a unbalanced premium on physical beauty. It's so wrong and so terrible. We want to forget something, not forget something. God never looks on the outside. He's always looking on the heart. This world is hindered by men's own insecurities. The fashion industry, the makeup people, stylish people, they're making untold millions, probably billions of dollars on other people's insecurity. To feel accepted, they're promoting a world where you have to do this. And they, you know, to us all, to the young people, when you pick up a magazine and you see a beautiful person, that's not the person that was behind on the other side of the camera. Hours go into making that person look that way. And then Photoshop takes over where the makeup couldn't quite get it off. That's not a real person. I want you to know that. That's not a real person. That's somebody that has been designed. That's what they have. That's not who that is. Be confident in who you are, young people. The world is calling for you. And you're strength and your hope and your ability to rise above that which God says is wrong and inappropriate behavior is going to rest very much so in your confidence in God's love for you, in the fact that you have been accepted in Jesus Christ. And let the world try to tell us all that we ought to look this way and look that way. Nobody really does. You may think I'm wrong, but I'm not. Nobody looks that away. Folks, You get up next to somebody that has been dutied up real good, and you'll see crow's feet sometimes, and you'll see double chin. You'll see all kind of things that just the snapshot didn't portray. I know there's degrees of what we might call beauty and handsomeness. Listen, God does not look at us that way. And if you want victories over some of these things, recognize that God loves you. God's people loves you. And that you've been accepted in the love of God. The liabilities sometimes that hit us are, I'm no use. I'm no value. I don't have anything to contribute. Listen, God did not lie when He said, come to me. God saw value in you when He laid down the life of His Son. I'm doing the Lord an injustice and an affront when I come to Him and say, I have nothing to give. Sure we do. We all have ourselves to start with. And we have our abilities. We have our emotions. We have our talents. We have everything to give God. But don't let the devil come along and say, you don't have anything. You can't do that. Some people struggle with emotions. Struggle with them. Now, we all have them. And we all have our battles with them. Some people can't seem to rise above them. I wonder how much confidence has in that. Confidence in God loves me. And these voices and these things are not true. They're lies. God is not telling me this. We fail. We make mistakes. We put our feet in our mouths. I say feet because that's what I do. I go the extra mile many times. And I put my feet in my mouth. Haven't we all? Does that mean God doesn't love us? That I'm no use? I might, well, just throw it all in? Throw in the towel? Of course not. That's a lie of the devil. We all have those places that we wish we'd have done better. Every one of us. There are times that we just cringe. And the old devil comes along and really heaps it on us at those times. Some people have such high degrees of expectations for them, others and themselves. My wife, my first wife, said something, and I hope I can say this right. She said, you know, Stanley, I'm glad that I can see other people's faults and still count them as friends. And I may not be saying that quite right, but you think about it. Sometimes we can hold people to such a high standard that we never can become friends with them because they never meet it. Sometimes we can hold ourselves to such standards we can't even be friends with ourselves. Think about it. I'm not talking about a loose, lax life. God help us to recognize we have victory, but it's going to come with confidence in God. It's going to come in knowing I am accepted in all things of mine. Sometimes we have liabilities that causes us to lose hope. We don't have hope like we ought to. Sometimes we have a liability that causes us not to see ourselves as God sees us. A little song that Gaithers wrote one time and had the children sing it. I don't think it's necessarily a novelty song. It's a children's song. It says, you are a possibility. You're a possibility with a capital P. If God can get a hold of us. If we can accept God loves us and cares about us, He's for us and not against us, He will winnow our path, He will protect us, He will chasten us in love to draw Him closer and not push us away. The Lord loves us and accepts us. Who am I to go against God? Who am I to say, God, you're wrong? Who am I to say, God, I'm no good? God loves us. Enough to give Himself for us. I know we could talk about the opposite of this, but that's not my message today. We don't like pride. God doesn't like pride. We're not talking about pride, but I believe the Lord wants us to think well of ourselves, have confidence in Him, and recognize that we can be and have been accepted by Him. One last scripture. We'll stop here. It may be the answer, I suppose. And there's a lot of things that we might term answer. But it's found in 2 Timothy 1. Excuse me. Second Timothy 1:11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Think Paul ever second-guessed himself? You think Paul was ever told, "You're stupid, Paul"? Think Paul was ever slapped? Think Paul was ever mistreated? You think Paul was ever misunderstood? You don't think Paul sometimes made mistakes? Do you think sometimes Paul realized they missed what I was trying to say? I failed in my communication. Do you think Paul ever felt that way? I believe he did. The reason I think that was, he was a man. He mended fish nets. He had feelings. He had emotions. He had the devil to contend with. But he was appointed to something. And he resolved through God, and he said, "I was faithful to that heavenly vision." Lord, today give us a heavenly vision. And let's be faithful to it. That I've been called of the Lord to be His saint, to be His child, to be His friend. I've been called of the Lord to be a laborer in His vineyard. I've been called to be a light bulb for Jesus. I've been called with a holy calling. He was appointed to be a preacher and an apostle, etc. For which things, he said, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Don't be ashamed this morning. And when people don't understand, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, and don't be ashamed of the calling, and don't be ashamed to say, the Lord loves me and cares about me, and the Lord has accepted me. You know, the Bible teaches us that judging ourselves, the scales, the balance, the acceptance is here. And we've been accepted if you're saved today in the beloved. I'm not ruling out growth by any means, but we are accepted. And this is what Paul said, and I think it reflects so much what each one of us should want to do. For I know in whom I have believed. I'm personally acquainted with Him. He's my friend. I know the night He said hello to me, and the night He said, "You're forgiven." I know the time the burden was lifted, and I'm not going to turn loose of that. Satan can tell me whatever he wants, but I remember that day. For I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded in my heart, in my mind. I'm persuaded of this thing. Not only persuaded that what Paul goes on and says, but persuaded in Him, in His love for me. I cannot overemphasize the positive effect of knowing you're loved. Know it. And it's going to come by believing the Word of God. He said, I know in whom I have believed and persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I would encourage us this morning, have confidence in God. Have confidence in the fact that you've been accepted by God, that He will accept you, that He is able to keep in spite of everything. And I am fully persuaded that I have more enemies here than I have in this whole world around me. I'm persuaded that all this that goes on around me, words, things I see, how it's received here, how it's filtered through here, what I let it become in here affects me much more than the actual event does. God help us. We've been accepted in the Beloved. We're God's children. You're God's child. One other thought. The prodigal son. And I've done this and I still do it, and sometimes we emphasize the prodigal son. But I wonder if the point of the whole story wasn't the son who stayed home. The man, the young man, when he came home, that's a wonderful, it's truly an allegory and a parable and a 100% true about those who go away into sin. I've used it and I will continue to use it that way. And the father there beckoning him, oh, I'm so glad to see you, and offering him the best of all. Amen, 100%. There's another part of that story. And that was the brother who stayed home. And that brother was hurt. He was insulted. And he went to the father and said as much. He could be talking about the old Jewish nation. I don't know that. But he was insulted. In some way, that young man, that older son, had missed who he was. He had missed who he was. The father said, "What are you speaking about? Everything I have is yours. Had you needed this, it's yours. Had you wanted to build a house on that hill, it's yours. Had you wanted those cows and you wanted to start a breeding program with them, they're yours. Had you wanted a banquet, throw a banquet. Everything I have is yours." Let's not be like the prodigal son's older brother and think it's all for someone else. The Lord said to us in that parable, in my mind, everything I have is thine. It's mine, it's yours. All the graces, all the love, all the guidance. So this morning, remember this. We are accepted in the Beloved. You pray for me.